if you could be associated with one thing, how would you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered for courage for my faith. That would be the most important thing. Most important thing is my faith.
Normally on a Tuesday, we are dropping a new episode of the Mike Thacker podcast, but today is not a normal Tuesday, and I didn't want it to be business as usual. Obviously, last week was a crazy week. We had a young lady murdered in cold blood, riding home from work on a bus. We had a school shooting again in the United States of America, but the big one, and the one that seems to be affecting most people, is the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And I want to talk about that for a second, because it's not okay. A lot of the things that I keep hearing are, I don't understand why I feel this way, but I feel a heaviness, I feel a sadness. And even after 2 and 3 days, I'm still hearing people saying that same thing. And I've been really wrestling with this, and I've been trying to understand why is it, you know, because at a face value level, we've got the assassination of somebody for nothing more than the things that he is saying, which is not what a civilized society does. That's just not who we're supposed to be. That's not who God created us to be. It's certainly not how we're supposed to conduct ourselves as people and as a civilization, and certainly not in the United States of America, in a country with the values that we have, that was built on the values that we were built on by the founding fathers. But I think it goes a little bit deeper than that, because if you take that layer, I don't know if it's enough to explain why so many people have been so affected by what happened. And so then you get to the spiritual realm and you start talking about what's happening here. We understand that this is good versus evil. And we understand that there is a spiritual realm as people who believe in Jesus and who believe the Bible. We know that it talks about this. And so we recognize then that it's not just good versus evil. It's even deeper than that. It's really about demonic forces against angelic forces. It's around the demons that support the devil and the supernatural forces that support God and the Holy Spirit. And I wonder, and the question I've been asking myself, and the question I would ask you, if you've been affected by this, if you're a Christian, you're feeling this heaviness, you're feeling this something on your heart. You know, kindred spirits recognize, and we are, as believers, filled with God's Spirit. I wonder if there's an element of, are we sensing God's Spirit just a little bit? That His Spirit's heartbroken, that His Spirit, obviously God sees these things, you know, coming because He knows the future, but He doesn't want bad things to happen. He doesn't make bad things happen. He's just aware if something bad is going to happen. It's this whole thing around predestination and, you know, and being outside of time and all that kind of stuff. But I wonder, are we being somehow pulled in this spiritual moment to what the Holy Spirit is feeling and wanting us to feel? You know, people are saying it's a wake-up call, it's time for a change and all these other kind of things. And that's great. And I hope it is. Because the reality is, as Christians, we haven't stood up for what we believe. We haven't been vocal enough about what we believe. We've been scared to talk about the things we believe. And the Bible's very clear. You know, John chapter 1, I think verse 4, verse 5, talks about the fact that, you know, when Jesus came into the darkness, you know, He came to bring the light. We've got this concept of light and darkness, good versus evil, all the way through Scripture. I think 1 John 1, 5 talks about this as well. And the reason it's so critical, and what I wanted to talk about and just give you a glimpse of my thoughts and musings here, is this idea of good versus light. Because when we're quiet, we're pulling light away. When we understand that darkness is the absence of light, right? If you think about a dark room, you flick a light switch and the light comes on. You don't flick a dark switch and darkness overtakes light. Light overtakes darkness. If it's bright enough, it fills the darkness. So when we think about who we are, what do we know about our faith? What do we talk about with our faith? What are we willing to fight about on our faith? The average Christian in America is not willing to stand up and fight about most of the things to do with their faith. We have created a void of light by being scared to talk about what's important, by not knowing what's important, by living a Christianity that is anemic, that is weak, that is half-hearted, that is compromised, that is shades of gray instead of black and white. And I like black and white because black is dark and light is white. And if you are a compromised believer, if you don't understand what your faith means to you, if you don't understand what your faith means, period, if you haven't stood up for the things that matter and you live in shades of gray, you know, I'm here to tell you, gray doesn't get rid of darkness. Gray blends into darkness. And that's what compromise does. The only thing that pushes darkness away is light. That's what Charlie was trying to do with his life, was taking the light into the dark places so the light could overcome the darkness. That's what Jesus did with his light. And obviously, we know he had the fullness of God, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Where he went, darkness couldn't be. We're supposed to be like Jesus. He's the Savior. Let's be clear here. It was a terrible event last week, and it's terrible what happened to Charlie. But ultimately, Jesus is the standard. Jesus is the Savior. And Charlie would say this, our eyes go to him first. And I want to encourage us today as Christians, as believers, this is a moment in time, and I'm worried we're going to lose it. I'm worried we're going to miss it. I'm worried that a week or two is going to go by, and we're going to just lull into that little semi-comatose state that we have lived in for so long, entertained by the same things that entertain the world, enjoying the same things enjoyed by the world, living by the same standards that people live by in the world. And that's not what we were created for. It's not what we were saved for. It's not what we were called to. And folks, it is time to make a decision. Do you want to be a serious believer who is seriously, intentionally, purposefully chasing after Jesus, wanting to understand Jesus more, wanting to live out your faith more? Or are we going to be a lulled, dead, dormant, lukewarm Christian that the book of Revelation talks about, and they get a letter from Jesus, and it's not a great one? Because that's where we were. This is where we're supposed to be going. And I think this is a critical moment. And I think this is why we're feeling this weight inside. This is why the Holy Spirit's tugging on our hearts. It's tugging on our souls. Sorry, he is tugging on our souls. He's a real person. And he's taking this moment to challenge all of us as believers and to ask that question. Choose today who you are going to serve. Just like Elijah did when he talked to the people of Israel at that moment in time with those 450 prophets of Baal. You need to choose. Are you serving Jesus? Are you following Jesus? Are you going to get serious about Jesus? Because that means understanding what the Bible says about your faith. That's what Charlie did so well. The things he talked about, this is the crazy thing. We watch the clips and we get fired up. We get excited about them. None of it's new. A man leading his family and stepping up to be the leader of the home, this is biblical standard since the beginning of time. You know, a wife submitting to her husband is such a crazy thing to say in our culture today, but this has been a biblical standard from the beginning, from the day one. It never changed. It never will, because God's standards don't fluctuate. There's no shades of gray. There's no variables. All the things Charlie talked about, all the things other Christians stand up and talk about, all the things we've compromised on and we've allowed to happen because of our failure to stand up, that's on us. We've allowed the darkness to prevail. And this is a moment where we need to decide, are we going to stop that from happening, even if it costs us something? Are we going to keep bringing light? Are we going to keep bringing the message of light to a world that needs to hear it, whether they want to hear it or not? Because that's the call that each one of us has. Yes, we're called to go make disciples, but first we're called to be believers. We're called to know what we stand for, to know the faith that we're choosing to profess. We're called to lead our families. We're called to lead our children. We're called to step up and be men and women of God. Those things are fundamental priorities. Before you worry about getting busy and everything else and doing whatever you want to do for Jesus, let's learn how to be for Jesus. And let's learn how to live that out in a loving and kind and compassionate way. And so to all the people that have done that really well in the last few days, I want to say thank you for not embarrassing Jesus. Thank you for not embarrassing my faith, for not throwing hate back at people who've been hateful. For people who maybe haven't figured it out yet, people saying, oh, if your church didn't talk about Charlie this week, you need to go find another church. No, don't listen to them. They don't get to tell you whether you need to find another church or not. Jesus gets to tell you that. The Holy Spirit gets to tell you that. If your church is teaching Jesus, is preaching Jesus, is focused on Jesus, you don't need to go find another church if they didn't talk about Charlie Kirk. It was just, you know, not the smartest move for them to leave it out. But we don't flip-flop like that. We don't break relationships with people we've spent years building because some vocal Christian decides to tell us what we're supposed to think. Always go back to scripture. Always go back to the Bible. Always go back to Jesus. Talk to him. Listen for his voice. He wants to hear us talk. He's waiting to hear us talk. And you know, always remember, Jesus wants you to succeed in your life even more than you do. We just need to understand his definition of success more than we understand our own. So I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you in your faith. I want to encourage you in your walk with God. He sees it all. We know the Bible tells us that trials will come and all this kind of stuff. That doesn't mean we have to be wishing for it and looking forward to it. We can stand up. We can be bold. We can be a stronger voice for Jesus moving forward than we have been in the past. And we can stop compromising. We can stop seeing the other people's perspective when it's anti-biblical and unbiblical. We stand on scripture. We stand on what the Bible says. There are two genders. That's what God created. It is not negotiable. Abortion is murder. That's what the Bible says. It is not negotiable. People have been trying to kill babies since the first books of the Bible. It's never changed. It is time for us to understand who we are as Christians and accept that, live by it, and stand up for it. I hope you'll do that. I hope you'll heed the call. I hope you'll take that prodding and that prompting of the Spirit inside of your heart. And I hope that you will not weaken away as the weeks turn into months and forget what is happening right now, because now is the time. Look around at the world. Islam's trying to take over country after country after country. Wars are happening everywhere. Jesus literally said, these are the signs of the end times. So we know we're in them. Do not miss out. Do not miss out on a future that God's got for you because you don't know what to say. You don't know how to stand up for what you believe, or you don't even know what to believe. Start reading. Don't just watch clips. Start reading. Read authors. Read the old books, the new books, the people who've gone deep on these topics. Understand your faith better than you've ever understood it before. There's no downside. There's only upside to understanding Jesus more tomorrow than you did yesterday. So when we talk about that, what does that mean? You know, to take up our cross, to choose today, who do we want to serve? Well, it means we accept the Bible is the word of God. Whatever it says, it is what it is. We don't get to get shades of gray over things that scripture says are wrong. Thou shalt not murder, period. That there's no gray area about, are we murdering a baby before it's born or after it's born? It's life. We know that. We know that in the womb, John the Baptist, as a baby, leapt when Jesus, as a baby in the womb, came into his presence. Like, this is New Testament stuff. So there's no gray area. Don't cheat. Don't lie. Honor your parents, like recognize the Sabbath. These are fundamental commandments of our faith. Do we live by them, or do we think, oh, that doesn't apply today? Well, am I smarter than God? I don't think so. You know, what else does it mean? It means communicating with God. If you don't pray regularly, you better start. Why do you want to go to heaven to spend eternity with a God that you don't know and don't want to spend time with now? Is it easy? No. Am I the world's best prayer? Absolutely not. I'm terrible at prayer. But I know I love God and I want to hang with him. And I wish I could hear him talk back a little bit more. I wish I lived in the Garden of Eden and I could go for walks with Jesus in the afternoon when he comes to visit. Like, that would be amazing. So believe in the Bible, communicating with God, fundamental things that we do as believers, loving other people. Jesus said, greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And the second, love other people the way that you would love yourself and the way that Christ loves you. He loved us enough to give his life to us before we knew him, before we loved him, and was willing to die on our behalf. I don't know about you. I don't really feel like dying on behalf of other people. But the Bible tells us that that's true love. That's the definition of love, that God was willing to sacrifice to save us. So we got to love him and we got to love people. Loving people doesn't mean we don't offend people by the truths that we believe in. We can believe a truth, but we can say it lovingly and we can say it kindly and we can have intelligence behind it so we can explain why we hold the position we hold. That's what Charlie Kirk did. That's why he went out to talk to people at campuses. That's why he debated people, because he was willing to give an account. this is what I believe and this is why I believe it. If you cannot do that as a Christian, I would encourage you to really lean into that and fix it. Start now. Pick hot topics, pick things you're not sure about, and start educating yourself and understanding the faith that you profess. Those things as three fundamentals will be three legs of a stool that will help you build layer upon layer upon layer in your faith. But get those basics right, because they're required by all of us. They're not optional things. And we don't know our faith if we don't have those figured out in our lives. Thanks for listening. Normal podcast will resume next Tuesday on our weekly cadence. But if you've got thoughts or comments, you know, drop them below.